Hello again, Gooners. As you may have noticed, I've dispensed with the music. Who needs music when you're getting wins in the Premier League and the Champions League for that matter? 6-0 dispatch of Lens, or Lon, probably, no S. They don't sound the S in French, do they, normally? And that's followed, of course, by a 2-1 victory at home against Wolves. Wolves are no mugs, let's be honest, but they lost in London, didn't they, the previous game against Fulham 3-2. So I was really expecting Arsenal to score three. They got pretty close, hit the post twice, Trossard and Nketiah late on. Both of those two hit the post, but ultimately Arsenal fans had to settle for a nervy 2-1 victory. Wasn't nervy all the way through. The way Arsenal started the game, they were getting applaudits. Arsenal fans everywhere very pleased with the opening in particular. As the half drew to a close, I felt that Arsenal were beginning to lose their hold on the game. And then when the second half started, yeah, it was quite a bright start. I don't think I was as impressed with the team as many people were. I thought Saka was back to his best, and I feel obviously he scored the first goal, and he caused Wolves no end of problems. I think one of the reasons for that was in previous games I've seen teams triple up on Saka to stop him from playing, but Wolves only doubled up on him, and that's not enough, because if Saka's on his game, he can beat two players. He's that good. Three players, even for Saka, could be a bridge too far, as they say. On the other wing, of course, Martinelli put in another decent performance. Seems like he's not gonna score as many goals as he has in previous seasons. For the fantasy football players or managers amongst you, maybe you might want to consider change, because Martinelli's not so cheap, is he, in FPL? As they call it, not as cheap as he once was, but he's playing just as well. The point is, it's just not finishing chances. But obviously, that may change. I think the big talking point for that game for me was that Kai Havertz wasn't starting. I thought he would. He'd got two goals in two games, but instead, Trossard was playing. I'm never going to complain about Trossard. I hope not, anyway, because he's been such a revelation since arriving. He's a super sub more than anything. So sometimes when he starts, I'm a bit surprised by it. But he's a player that can change a game, and on his day, he's unplayable. I don't think it was his best performance, if I'm totally honest. I believe he was one of the players who hit the post when put through on goal. And on that topic, Nketiah had a similar chance. Maybe people say his chance was easier because it was more central. But these shots that hit the post and go out, how close is that to a goal? I've never really understood why when the ball hits the post, it's considered off target. To me, it's on target. It's just a case of luck. If you don't have the luck, it doesn't go in. If luck's on your side, it does go in. I mean, the purists would say, no, it's still off target. But I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. It's a bit like when you have a shot and it's deflected in. I personally would never award it as an own goal. If you take a shot and it goes in, the person who took the shot should get credited with the goal. That's my own personal belief. But yeah, a quick rundown of how the team was set up. After the Brentford game, David Raya was back in goal. Of course, he couldn't play against his parent club because he's still technically on loan. Looks like that loan deal will become permanent if he carries on the way he is. I don't think all Arsenal fans are totally sold on him, but I think that's largely because Ramsdale was so popular. The reason why Ramsdale was so popular, though, is, well, one, he is a very good keeper, and two, his public relations is, generally speaking, pretty brilliant, although apparently he came out and said something he possibly shouldn't have said quite recently about Zinchenko, who has got a mistake in him, let's be honest. Zinchenko, brilliant going forward. Defensively, not the most solid. Every now and then he does pull a rabbit out the hat and he manages to stand up to a fast winger. But he's not really, is he, a proper defender as such. So Timber was brought in to be that number one choice left back. But in his absence, of course, Zinchenko has to fill in. I still see Zinchenko as having a great future at Arsenal. I see him basically as a utility player who can play pretty much anywhere in midfield. He's not exactly a winger as such, but I think wherever he plays, he's that intelligent and that technically gifted that he can fill in, fit, you know, he can be that. He's never a square peg. He's an adaptable peg, so he fits in any sort of hole, I feel, that Arsenal may have in their team. But ultimately, if you're that sort of player, you never really hold down a first choice spot in the team, and you might get utilised in any sort of position. Couldn't quite see him as goalkeeper or striker, but more or less every other position I think you could fill. Probably not centre-back, actually, so we're cutting down the options. But it depends. Could you have him as a sweeper, maybe? Reads the game brilliantly. The issue for Zinchenko is he's not very quick. I think that's his biggest problem. And his second biggest problem is his concentration at the back. For some reason, he seems to not be able to focus for the whole 90 minutes or 90 minutes plus. So the way I would play Zinchenko is if I started him, and there's every reason to start him because he normally starts well in games, I'd consider substituting him quite frequently. I'd get the shepherd's crook, pull him off the pitch, get somebody else on. There are worries, of course, about the fullback positions. Tomiyasu's done very well coming in at right back. So well, in fact, that White can't get his place back in the team, not just yet, at least. But a lot of the Arsenal fans are saying that really the first choice left back in the absence of Timber is Tomiyasu. It's kind of hard to argue with that because Tomiyasu, I'm not sure he's the best defender at the club. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that he's possibly the best man marker. He's up there with Saliba. Well, Saliba, does he really man mark? I think he sometimes allows Gabriel to man mark and he sort of picks up the pieces. But I think when you think of the job that Tomiyasu did on Salah when Liverpool played at Arsenal some time ago, he couldn't really improve on that performance. So there's no one that I can think of that could have snuffed out Salah so effectively. So yes, looking at Tomiyasu, he does seem to be a shoo-in to play a lot more games. I thought he was very impressive. His passing was excellent as well. So everything about Tomiyasu's game I thought was good, except one thing, these injury problems. That's the only issue. That's the only thing that's going to stand between him and getting hundreds and hundreds of appearances for Arsenal under his belt. So how does he stay injury-free? Who knows? I mean, sometimes it's just the way you are built physiologically that's going to cause you to get loads of injuries. As it has been mentioned in the past, Ryo Miyaichi, it was his build that meant that he would continually get injuries. But I don't think Tomiyasu has that same problem. He's built, even though they're from the same country, built incredibly differently. And Tomiyasu's pretty strong physically, that goes without saying. But nevertheless, he does seem injury prone, which is a bit of a concern. Saliba and Gabriel played pretty well, actually. I couldn't really fault them. Raya, maybe a couple of shaky moments, but I thought he was going to keep a clean sheet. He was unlucky not to. He couldn't stop the shot for the goal. Absolutely no way. And had Zinchenko not gifted, what's his name, Cunha, with that chance, I think, it would have been a 2-0 win rather than a 2-1 win. And I've talked about Zinchenko already. He's brilliant on the overlap. He got an assist, so he did very well overall, despite his mistake. In midfield, do I count Saka as a midfielder? Everybody says he's a forward, but in a sense, he's a right winger and he has to tackle back. So in a sense, he's like a midfielder, as is Martinelli. On the flanks, Arsenal were strong, particularly on the right. Odegaard scored a great goal, but I didn't think he was quite as good as I've seen him in the past. I think he's getting back to his best. I don't think he's quite there yet. So not quite sure why everyone's raving about Odegaard, because I'm not one of them right now. I have been in the past, and I think he will get back to where he was. But right now, I don't think he's hitting top form, if I'm honest about it. Some of his passes went astray. I don't know, unless I was watching a different game. That's what I saw anyway, and that's my observation. Rice, can't criticise at all. He just tidies up everything. He plays a simple ball. Very rarely makes mistakes. He adds a lot of solidity to the back line, even though he plays slightly in front of it. And who else am I missing? Oh, Trossard. I thought Trossard He was relatively quiet, although he does buzz around a bit, and he's unpredictable. I love Trossard. How can you not love Trossard? And then we come to Gabriel Jesus. I thought had an excellent game. I wish he'd scored a goal, but he did get one in midweek, so can't make too many complaints about that. But overall, you've got to be pleased with the performance, even though I have dwelt on some of the negatives, mostly the sloppy goal that was given away. Even though it was a great finish, that shouldn't really be happening. So when I looked at the Arsenal team, I've got to ask myself, was that a title-winning performance? Well, the 3 points is title-winning. Of course it is. But really, the performance. To me, Man City won't be quaking in their boots if they watch that whole entire 90 minutes. They'll think there are chinks in Arsenal's armour. And I don't think they're going to be incredibly worried, even though they can't recapture top spot right away. So that's all I've got to say right now. I hope you've enjoyed this little show. And until the next time, adios, amigos.